Welcome to Poke the Bear Podcast. We are here to expose the lies that this culture uses to manipulate this generation. Interested? Have a listen.
All right, this is day 8 of the Go for the Gold program. I'm Danny.
And I'm James.
Today we're going to be talking about a topic that really hits home with a lot of different places in life. It doesn't matter if you're single, dating, married, engaged. But the topic today is going to be conflict. So, James, do you like arguing?
You know, arguing is not one of my best suits, you know? I mean, I like to have discussions with people, but I don't like to argue because sometimes arguing, you don't never get to the exact point. You know, you just kind of argue, and then at the end of the day, you're like, did we resolve what we were arguing about? How about you? Are you an arguer?
I like a friendly debate, but once it gets to the point where someone's emotions are involved, if I can tell someone's going to get really angry or if there's like personal buy-in, if someone's really offended by the argument or debate, then I'm out. I'm not one who likes arguing with an angry person. So if it's a friendly debate, I like logic and stuff like that. But yeah, I get real nervous if I feel like a real argument's about to go down. So not my favorite thing either.
I hear you. Right on.
I feel like a lot of people out there probably, you know, argue a reasonable amount, but a lot of people don't like arguing. There's some people I think that love it and just, you know, jump in every chance they get. But a lot of people, it's really uncomfortable if you have to bring up, like, let's say your friend is doing something that bugs you or has done something to hurt you multiple times and you got to call them out on it. Like, that's not a fun thing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully today we'll talk about some tips and tricks on how to argue in a more healthy way. Like you said, James, it's a lot of times it's like nothing gets solved. And I think if you want a healthy relationship, you have to aim to solve things. So,
yeah. And I agree with that. And I think a lot of times too, we talk about arguing and how do you do it? And you mentioned about a best friend. You know, I have a best friend of 49 years and literally we don't argue. And I think that's something that my best friends always ask me. It's like, look, there's something that I should be doing or should not be doing, and you don't agree with it, then let's have a discussion. So I think you look at it from an argument of a discussion, a civil discussion where your voices are, you know, you could hear each other out versus a one-way conversation. And I think today we'll answer a lot of those questions or put a lot of that into perspective.
Yeah, I think it's all about how you view the words too, because like what you're talking about is like you might have a conflict or a problem with a person, but discussing it is a lot different in a lot of people's minds than arguing. And I always think of like an English paper where you have to make an argument for whatever you're writing about and you have to like give evidence. Technically, that's an argument. So like arguments for a lot of us, we hear that and we think like yelling, screaming, fighting, but I mean, really, those discussions and debates, you could be making an argument, but it's not that you're arguing, I guess. It's a weird connotation for a lot of people. Arguing is actually, or conflict management, I should say, is the number one factor of success in a relationship. It's kind of been deemed like the thing that relationship experts look at to see if a relationship's going to make it or break it. So it's really important. It can just help build a lot of different relationships in a healthier way. So friendships, doesn't matter. Like I said, dating or friendship or whatever, I've used this material with lots of different people. I've even settled fights between two other people. Like I wasn't even in the argument. Have you ever used this stuff in your real life, James?
You know what? I was just thinking that. It's like, yes. And literally in my own life, like in my own house, I've used it. I've really just said, all right, you know, think about what you're doing right now. But if I am with some friends or even with my family, like, not to throw the political thing out there, but my family is on like two different sides of the political issue. And sometimes, you know, it could get heated, but often we have a civil discussion, so to say. And a lot of people think that conflict may be unhealthy. And I always ask people, say, do you think it's healthy or do you think it's unhealthy? And to your point, you know, conflict management is going to determine if you feel that is healthy or if it's unhealthy.
Yeah, that's a great point to make before we get into the specifics, because some people might be asking like, well, if you're in a healthy relationship, I mean, you shouldn't fight at all, right? Like, what is conflict even necessary, I guess, is some people's question. I think it is necessary. I think it's inevitable because you have people that think two different ways. So any relationship, friendship, whatever, I think conflict is going to happen, but it's all about how it happens. If you bring up something you disagree with in a polite way and have a discussion versus yelling at the person, I think conflict can be healthy. It can help you grow. It can help you understand the other person after the conflict's over. It can actually make you feel closer to them in my experience. But I've had a lot of conflict with people too, where it's pushed me away from them because they've handled it poorly. So I think it can really go either way.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to conflict, sometimes people think of conflict. And I think the first thing that comes to mind is like an argument or a disagreement. But there could be internal conflict or things that happen without under your control that now creates conflict. And it's like, how do you address this conflict? It's not always with a bunch of people. It could be with like internally conflict. And then how do you address it internally? And what do you do to address it? How do you address it, you know, from an internal standpoint as well?
So are you talking about like when you say internal conflict, are you talking about like if I have something going on inside of me that I'm trying to deal with?
I'm saying that, right? Maybe there's some things that you're going through that you're trying to deal with personally, or something happens and it involves nobody else, but now you have a conflict. For an example, if you're driving your car and something happens, and whether you get a speeding ticket or whether you get an accident or you get a flat tire, that is all conflict, not necessarily caused by anybody else. It's something that you did. So now you have to decide, hey, how do I handle this conflict? And you can handle it many different ways, but sometimes handling that conflict internally the best way and thinking about it's almost like replaying the tape or the trailer as to what happened to this point. And then you deal with that yourself. But in relationships that we're talking about through Go for the Goal program, it is usually with another person or multiple people.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a really good thought. I mean, I was thinking with the flat tire thing, like literally it could be no one's fault. It's just you on an empty road by yourself and you get a flat tire. But how you process and handle that mentally says a lot about how you handle conflict, even with other people potentially. So
correct. Right on.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Well, there's four ways of dealing with conflict. There could be more or less than that, but we've kind of summed it up in four basic ways. So we're just going to break them down and talk about each one a little bit and talk about which one's the healthiest and which one you should kind of steer away from. So the first one is aggressive. What's your take on aggressive?
My thought is it's kind of like my way or the highway. I'm kind of like, if I look at back at those grooming steps, I'm kind of intimidating. I'm kind of just putting you in your place. I'm kind of telling you what to do, where to go, what to wear, how to handle yourself. So aggressive, meaning that I'm not even going to listen to anything anybody has to say. Somebody might have the best idea for me to handle this conflict, but I'm not ready to listen to anybody else. So it's really me saying, this is what we're doing, and whatever results come from this handling of this conflict this way is what we're going to get. So that's kind of what I think of an aggressive person handling conflict.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You mentioned the grooming and like manipulation stuff. And I think a lot of people think aggressive is like yelling, screaming, which it is. That's part of it. But I think some people can be aggressive if they are like, let's say they're too pushy. They're kind of a know-it-all. They interrupt people. Like they're just not good listeners. I think listening is the key. Aggressive people just don't listen. Mm-hmm. It's very much like shove an idea down your throat. Because I think a lot of people, when I talk to them about aggressive, they kind of have this thing in their mind, like aggressive has to be yelling, screaming, physical. And later on, when we talk about a different style, they actually will say like, oh yeah, this is the know-it-all person who, you know, they don't really listen well. But I actually categorize that as aggressive too. So I always bring them back to like, nope, that's still aggressive. Mm-hmm. They're pushy. They're not listening. So aggressive can come in a lot of different packages, I think. But what it comes down to is they're not listening very well. They're pushy, not trying to give you any ground in the conflict. They're trying to win. Mm-hmm. It's more about them getting everything they want and not giving you any part of what you want. So
the person that's being aggressive, they're right. And the person that's trying to help is wrong. that is kind of what the way I see it.
And speaking of politics, like you were talking about earlier, I feel like a lot of politicians and people that debate politics normally lean toward being pretty aggressive. I've never heard people on the news like have a civil debate without some sort of aggressiveness creeping in at some point. I feel like it's very hard for them to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, the next one's passive. So I relate to this one a lot. I think I lean toward being passive myself a little bit, which is not good because it's named for this one's a doormat, which are people that get walked all over. I don't know. What's your take on passive people, James? Since I'm kind of passive myself, so I want to hear another perspective on it.
So passive, you know, I think people can be different depending on which role they're playing in the relationship. And it's so amazing that when you speak about passive, it's like people that would just go along with whatever is said or whatever is suggested. It not really offering their thoughts or their opinions. It's one of those things that like an aggressive person and a passive person that's coming down, the aggressive person is like, this is what we're doing. And the passive person says, okay. And not even caring or concerned about, you know, what could be the repercussions of doing something a certain kind of way. So I really, when someone just agrees with me on something, I really start to ask questions. Well, why are you agreeing? What is it about what I said that you're agreeing with? Or if I see somebody else being passive, I'm like, well, why are you just accepting that as it is? And maybe there's reason, right? Maybe there's reason that people are that way from their past or from their experiences. But, you know, from a passive perspective, I would love someone to, you know, not just go with the flow, but kind of, you know, ask some questions, be inquisitive. Now, understand why are we going this way and why is it that thought? That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you said the whole role thing, and I was thinking like what kind of role would I be in where I'd be more passive? Mm-hmm. I feel like a boss to or supervisor to employee type relationship, like a lot of people with their boss mm-hmm. are going to lean toward passive. So even if you disagree with something in your head, if your boss says, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what I think a lot more people are more likely to be like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Even if in the back of your mind, you're like, that's not a good
idea. Absolutely. Yep, I see it.
Yeah. I had a friend who he's the nicest guy. Like I don't think I've ever heard him say negative things about other people. He's not a complainer, but me and this group of friends went to Taco Bell for like literally once a week for like 6 months. That's like where we had this meeting we did. And I look over and this one friend of mine who the really nice guy, he's eating a cinnamon twist. And I realize like, I think he's gotten that like every time we've been here for the past few weeks. So I like spoke up and asked him like, hey man, like, do you like eat dinner before you come here? Or like, what's the... Like, why are you always just eating cinnamon twists? Like, you just, you know, do you go home and eat after this? Like, what's the deal? He just like really casually is like, no, I just don't like Taco Bell. And I was like, dude, what? We've eaten here for 6 straight months. Like, how do you not like Taco Bell and you haven't said anything? Mm-hmm. So he's a pretty good example of that passive personality. And it's like, I don't think he was bitter under the surface and like, you know, just dying to say something. I think he's just so nice that he just didn't care. Mm-hmm. But sometimes being passive, like for me, I know in my past, I did care about things, but I was afraid to speak up because of the repercussions or because of aggressive people jumping down my throat. Yeah. So passive is not always fun to be unless you're just chill and don't really have an opinion.
You know, and I find myself being passive when I don't know. Like somebody might ask me a question or ask a question in a group, and I may just be quiet because I don't want to sound like I don't know or I don't want to say something. And then somebody challenged me at a whole nother direction. And now I have to try to defend myself and I'm not ready to defend myself. So therefore I just kind of let it go.
Cool.
All right. And then the next one is avoidant. So avoidant is another one that I relate to because I feel like passive and avoidant are kind of similar. Both people don't really like conflict a ton, but it's just how they handle it. I imagine a passive person staying in a conversation and shaking their head yes to everything being said. And an avoidant person changing the subject, walking away, even just like not texting back could be avoidant. So it's kind of the same, I don't like conflict mentality, but it's a little bit different style of how they handle it. So,
you know, it is. Avoidant is something that has hit me numerous times. And from a standpoint of not trying to avoid it altogether, but like maybe thinking, oh, it's going to work out. If I avoid it for like this minute or this day or this week, next week, something is going to happen. Or I'm going to work really hard and do something so that it's going to work out the next week. And I say it like from a money standpoint sometimes, right? I might be tight or I may need to make some investment or buy something, but I'll wait and say, I'm going to go ahead and spend this money and do it. But I'm going to work a little bit harder. I'm going to work an extra hour here, or I'm going to go out and do something because I know I can make that money back up. So I'll avoid the conversation with the wife by saying, hey, I don't have this money, or I don't have this, or with a friend, if I own money, hey, I don't have that, but I'll have it next week. I'll just avoid it, not even bring it up, hoping that they don't bring it up. But often when you avoid a conversation, it comes back, and it comes back harder than it was when you just would have had the conversation the first time, and then everybody would have been on the same page.
Yeah, it's an avoidant. It's really easy to be avoidant sometimes because, like, it's hard to tell people no. So I've had people ask me a question, and my answer is no, but then I don't text them back. But then it's awkward because you see them somewhere in person, and then you're like, well, crap. Like, I never texted them back. You know, like, I never answered them. I would have felt more comfortable if I would have just directly told them no and told them why, instead of that uncomfortable feeling of like, oh no, they see me and they know I haven't texted them back and then I'm avoiding them. Like, it just feels uncomfortable. So it helps you in the short term, like, kind of avoid a problem and make it a little bit easier. But then I think long term, it always comes back to get you. Same with aggressive, honestly. Aggressive, I think short term, it can get people what they want and it makes people feel like powerful. But then long term, you make all these enemies. So a lot of these are like short term fixes for things.
Right. And you know, Danny, I had a situation with me where I had this 2014 Chevy Impala, and it had acquired a crack in my catalytic converter. But it was just a small crack and it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, I was just driving my car. I knew I had to get it fixed, but I was like, you know, it's just a small crack. And then over time, and time meaning 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, literally the fourth month, it broke off. And it went from making a small noise, just a little bit of a rattle, to now it sounded like I needed a new exhaust system because now the catalytic converter wasn't doing its job. So instead of it being maybe a $100 repair job, it ended up being like a $900 to $1,000 repair job. And it all goes back to now handling that conflict, playing it back. If I would have just did it the first time and got the weld done, I would have done that. And then I would have not had to have that conflict. But because I avoided it for so long, it turned into a larger conflict. Because not only do I have to get that fixed because I can't drive the car, now I'm taking $900 out of my income that I wasn't ready to spend. You know, so it's like sometimes avoiding conflicts creates other conflicts as well.
Yeah, for sure. And in relationships, I think the more you, like a dating relationship, for example, the more you avoid something, I feel like it just gets worse under the surface, or like tensions build, and like, it's just better to get stuff out there. Like, me and my wife have talked to each other about, if there's something that I'm doing that's annoying you, I'd rather you tell me and be hurt temporarily than you be bitter for like the long term. Like, I would much rather know and be able to fix it and work on it, or like talk to you about it so we can at least come to some sort of agreement instead of someone not saying something. So that kind of leads me to the next one, which is more so what we're getting at here. Assertive is the last of the four. So there's aggressive, passive, avoidant, and assertive. And assertive is the one that we're going to land on because I think it's more, a little more healthy. So
yeah, I would agree with you there. And just thinking about as I grow and then what roles I play, and just even in the Go for the Gold program, you know, we found ourselves handling conflict this way. And it's the best way. It's like you just said, I think you just mentioned about, let's talk it out. You know, let's work it out. Let's kind of, you know, see what got us here. And then how can we get out? You know, what is our goal? Do we have those SMART goals? And then, you know, how are we going to get there? So it's going to allow you to have that discussion with, you know, with each other and then hear each other out. So I do think assertive, you know, meaning, hey, let's address this, not don't let it go. Let's address this, but also let's do it in the right manner so that it's both respectful and productive.
Right. We talk about assertive in the classroom, and a lot of students will say like, oh yeah, that's like that know-it-all kid who like doesn't listen to you and shoves stuff down your throat. And I always, like I said, redirect them back to, nope, that's aggressive. Mm-hmm. Assertive is a good listener. So assertive people are going to say like, hey, I think this because of this, this, and this. Now, what do you think? So it's more of like the diplomat sort of person, the person that like kind of gauges everybody's interest and then tries to like come to a conclusion. They're trying to solve problems, not just win. So, all right, James, I like to make the podcast a little personal and, you know, ask some questions that might be not embarrassing, but just dig beneath the surface and be a little interesting. So,
hey, let's go.
I'll answer the same question, but what style do you lean toward out of the four we just talked about, and what style would your
Good
wife be?
question. So, and you heard me say earlier about the role. So I think depending on what situation I'm in, I've found myself to be more on the passive avoidant side, depending on the role. But depending on who I'm working with, like my wife, she's more on the aggressive side when she's at work because she's a nurse and she has to be in control and she has to talk about that. But then she's found that the assertiveness that when she's going back and forth talking to nurses and doctors and asking questions and trying to really get to the bottom of it, she's more on the assertive side in her role. In our household, I'm more of the assertive person and she's more of the a passive person because she's like, hey, whatever you say, whatever you want. I mean, if it's dinner, if it's going to a movie, if it's, going places, she's like, okay. She'll just go with the flow unless she really, 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 really doesn't. I mean, there's a lot of reallys there. So it depends on the situation. How about you?
I would say growing up, I was definitely more passive and avoidant. And so I lean that way now. I try to be assertive because I know it's like the healthy option. But there's still days where it's like, you know what? Instead of texting back, no, I don't want to hang out to someone, I might just like not text them back and then wait till they text me again or something like that. So yeah, I would say passive and avoidant is kind of my like, if I'm in an unhealthy mood, that's my go-to. If I'm in a healthy mood, I'll be more assertive. And then for my wife, I'd say she's kind of similar. I think she's maybe even a little more assertive than I am. She can be more passive and avoidant. Sometimes I feel like she's more assertive within our relationship than I used to be. I think I've caught up with her, but with friendships and stuff, I've noticed that I will say stuff to my friends that she wouldn't say to hers. So I'm a little bit more likely to call my friends out and like argue with them and stuff. So it's weird because I think we're flip-flopped. I'm like, I'm more assertive with people outside of our relationship, and then she's more assertive with within our
Yeah,
relationship.
that's a good
So
call. That's a good call. Interesting.
yeah.
Interesting.
All these things are, it's a weird dynamic. All these four things, I feel like there's a lot of overlap. So our listeners right now, if you guys are trying to figure out which one you are, I would think about how you act with your parents versus your friends versus your teacher versus your boss. I guarantee you probably go through all four of these at some point in your life. I was more aggressive with my little sister when I was growing up as a kid, you know? Like I'm not very aggressive as a person, but siblings, you just go at each other's throats. I
And
don't know why.
you know that when you were saying that, and it kind of makes me think about my youth because I stuttered and I still stutter today. So in some cases, because I stutter, I have found myself not being the aggressive because I might stutter in some of my words and wouldn't take me seriously, or I was finding myself being passive because I didn't want to say something. I didn't want to talk about it because I was afraid I was going to stutter and embarrass myself when I was a kid. So I've gotten over
Yeah, that's tough. So aggressive might not have been the best option for you growing
that.
up, but we're actually going to look at six steps to resolving conflict assertively. So these are just going to be some steps to help kind of a break it down step-by-step basis, because being assertive is a skill. I fully believe that like anybody can be assertive. And I think that even though maybe our personality makes us more likely to be aggressive or passive, like if you're a shy person, you're probably not going to be super aggressive. But no matter what your personality type is, everyone can be assertive. So we'll just read through the six steps and talk about them briefly and just discuss how to apply this to real life. So the first step is get a grip on those emotions. So what emotions do you feel when you get into a conflict,
Often
James?
I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm confused, I'm kind of worried and concerned just because it's like I don't know, right? I don't know. If I get into a conflict, it's almost like, what did I do and how can I resolve it? And it just throws a lot of concerns and a lot of emotions. If it's something that I know that I did or I didn't do, then it's like I'm angry at myself.
Yeah, I feel like anxiety is definitely one of my big ones, which makes me more passive and avoidant. Like, even if I know I should speak up and say something, sometimes I'm just like, you're dealing with that like little feeling in the pit of your stomach. Like, you feel kind of almost nauseous. You're like, really, I don't want to say this. I don't want to have to do this. But I totally feel you on the other ones too. Just kind of hurt sometimes, or like confused, or just frustrated. And I feel like aggressive people, the main emotion they probably struggle with more so is anger. I know when I've been more aggressive, it's because I was angry. So think there's a range of emotions that you could be dealing with, but there are actually some mini steps to helping you with step one, get a grip on your emotions. So it's like stop, drop, and roll. It's like when you're a kid and you catch on fire, they tell you to stop, drop, and roll. So this is for if you get heated in an argument, you're supposed to name it, claim it, and tame it. So just name why you're upset, take responsibility for your feelings and your actions, and then find a way to kind of calm yourself down. That's a nice little mnemonic device you can do for
step number one. Breathe. You get upset about it. Tell myself, breathe, chill out, you know, calm down. Because sometimes if you don't get a grip on your emotions, right, you may, if you're an aggressive person, you may say something or do something that you may come back to regret. But if you really name it, claim it, tame it, you're really going to be able to address it in the right form and the right fashion.
Yeah, I know for me, the ways that I tame my emotion, like doing something fun that I consider like a mindless hobby, like watching a show or playing video games or going for a walk, those can be really helpful as long as they're healthy and they're not becoming, you know, addictions or whatever. But also you've got to have coping mechanisms for when you're face to face with a conflict. Like at work, you can't just leave and go play video games as an adult, right? Like you've got to actually deal with your conflict. So those breathing exercises or just like a thinking exercise or just whatever you do in the moment. I know a lot of people work out when they're stressed out and angry. So you can't drop and give someone 10 when you're like in a conversation with your boss, right? So I think it's all about finding those coping mechanisms that are going to help you to the best of your abilities. All right. Step two is identify the problem.
So, you know, you're thinking about, you know, what the conflict is. It's like, are we really getting to the core or are we just talking in circles? You know, really identifying a problem. And sometimes I use the analogy of the Titanic. It's like identifying the problem and the Titanic sank. And why did the Titanic sink? Well, because it hit the iceberg. But the captain and the crew thought they were missing the iceberg because they was going towards and they seen it and they were like, oh, we got to miss this. So they were putting the ship in reverse and they was turning it hard as they could. And the front end missed the iceberg. But because the iceberg was there, the iceberg was visible. So they could see what they thought was the potential conflict or problem. But an iceberg is only a percentage visible above the water, and it's a lot bigger below the water. You know what that percentage is, Danny? Percentage of above the water that you can see it, and then below the water, what it is?
I want to say, is it like 15%?
So if 15% is above the water, you can see it, 85% is below the water. And then that's why the ship hit at the bottom, put a hole in the bottom of the ship because it was beneath the water. What they couldn't see was where the ship actually hit. And I use that analogy because often there's a conflict that we're dealing with and we think we try to address it at the level that we can see. And that's what we're fighting. That's what we're arguing about. But really, you have to go a lot deeper to understand where did this start and what built up to this point? You know, what got that water boiling and then address it that way.
Have you ever picked a fight or started arguing about something really just petty and stupid just because there was something under the surface that you didn't want to actually bring up, but you like kind of were just like releasing that tension? Have you ever, you know, fought about like a cookie or something, but you were actually mad about some bigger thing?
I can't think of one that I have, but I know I have a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. So I said my brother-in-law, his wife, my sister-in-law. I've seen it. I've seen it in person. I've been with him and he's done something that I said you shouldn't have done that. So I kind of coaching him. But I've seen where he's come at his wife with something to totally distract her from the main reason. And it was always with the kids as something to get her totally distracted about the main reason. And then he'll look at me like, got her. So it's like, yeah.
From my experience too, I've seen people, they get into one fight about something currently happening. And then one person will bring up like the dirty laundry from like 2 years ago that someone did something wrong. And then they'll actually start arguing about the event 2 years ago and then forget the event currently. And it just gets you completely off topic. It kind of like derails the conversation because if you bring up too many problems, you don't solve any of them. That's kind of what I've observed is like, you got to really narrow it down to like, what is my main problem? What can we do to fix it? Because if you go on a big arguing rampage circle about 10 different things, like you never single one.
That's
so
true. You got to identify it.
Yep. All right. And then step three is attack the problem, not the person. So this one is, again, one that people on TV and running news shows and politicians, I feel like they could really take this to heart. And
yes, it seems seen this where it was just really a one way. And it's almost like that aggressive person, when they don't do this, let me say, when they attack the person, not the problem, they're really coming from an aggressive behavior standpoint. And I think it's a lot of pointing the fingers. It's a lot of you did. It puts that person in really in a bad position. And then it's almost like when you attack the person, not the problem, it's like you are putting that person either on the defensive or putting them into a passive situation, and then you're never going to get to the bottom of it. So we definitely have to attack the problem, understand, you just mentioned it, you know, identify what it is, and then figure out a way to solve it.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but when someone starts attacking me, calling me names, cussing at me, like, I'm not as willing to compromise with them and talk about a solution. If you're cussing me out, like, I don't really want to talk at all. So I might go avoid it and just walk away. I might, you know, if they're really aggressive, it's like you might get aggressive back. Mm-hmm. It's harder to be assertive. I'm not going to say you're definitely not, because it's possible to be assertive with an aggressive person. But if you're really getting attacked, that puts people on the defensive, and it really doesn't do anything as far as solving the problem. So it's usually counterproductive. I feel like I saw it best in a YouTube video one time, where this guy said that he saw this waitress walk over to a table, and the guy sitting at the table said, "Hey, you screwed up my check." And he just like cringed inside, because he's like, there's such a better way you could deal with that. All you have to do is say, "Hey, there's a problem with my check. Can you help me fix it?" Even if you think it's that waitress's fault, you're just not pinning it on her. She doesn't feel attacked, and then she can help you deal with it, and she'll be on your side versus being your enemy. So it's all about making friends, not enemies, you know? Like, don't, if you attack people, you're not going to make any friends that way. So, all right. And then step four is resolve the problem.
So now we're, you know, we've kind of gone through these steps. We've talked about it. Now it's putting in process, you know, what are we going to do to resolve it? I mean, sometimes it's simple. You just don't do what you did before. Now you resolve it. But if it's good, healthy discussion, maybe there's some things that I want, and then some things that you want. So back and forth. So you have to really think about it. What is it that we really want, we really need, that we really desire? You know, speaking, listening, going through that step, but also using the word I call compromise, and coming to a decision, or coming to an agreement, where I might not get everything that I want, and you might not get everything that you want. But let's resolve the problem by let's coming together. Let's agree on some things that we both want, and then let's move forward.
Right. It feels like you're giving something up. You're sacrificing. Maybe you're only getting half of what you want instead of all of it. You know, if you're aggressive, you could just take everything you wanted and stomp away, but you're not giving up that much, because you give in a little bit, but what you're getting out of it is you get part of what you want. Plus you get the relationship being fixed and being healthy, which I think is invaluable. So that's the part. Compromise isn't always fun, but it keeps the relationship healthy, which is a great thing. So, and one thing I will say about compromise is that step four, the hardest part about step four is just getting there. If you can get to step four, you're already doing amazing. So if you can start offering up some solutions and talk about, like, okay, what should we do next to fix this problem? Because I feel like most arguments get derailed because people aren't controlling their emotions, because they don't identify the problem, because they attack the person. So if they fail at the first three steps, they can't even get to a point where they're talking about compromise. Which
step, I think sometimes working through that whole process, and even though you may compromise at this fourth step, there's still the thought of, you know, what did I give up? And then what did he or she give up? And then you can also work towards getting, you know, those things back. And Ned, if you're working through this and then you're not creating additional conflict along the way, then I think over time you can get back some of the things that you wanted wasn't at that time, right? And then you just kind of work through them that way.
Yeah, you just give up where you want to eat tonight, and there then maybe tomorrow you're like, hey, last night I let you pick, so you tonight it. Can I pick? It. Like, it's as simple as that. Ooh. Sometimes, you know? All right, well, let's move on to step five is restore the relationship.
Repair. So what do we do to repair? So, man, big word here, right? Big word here. You know, I did something to cross your boundaries. I didn't ask for permission. I didn't give you time. I thought you trusted me, but I crossed you, or I've done something to you. And really now I need to apologize. I need to really figure out, you know, what did I do wrong? And I need to apologize. And I think we have to apologize through our actions, but we also have to apologize using our words. So it's very, very, very important to do that.
Yeah, and this stage is really good for apologies, for even just asking forgiveness or forgiving other people, just stating, like, it's okay, like, I forgive you for, you know, I'm not holding this against you. Like, a lot of times I don't say, like, I'm sorry or I forgive you, which I probably should state more clearly sometimes. But, like, even just saying, like, hey, we cool, like, everything good, like, that's a form of restoring that relationship, repairing it, making sure you're still on good terms. Because honestly, after you resolve a conflict, it still might feel like there's a little bit of tension between you and that person. So this is kind of the stage where you need to fix it, make sure you're on good terms, and even just like hang out again, just do something fun, kind of go back to normal. And that usually helps mend a lot of wounds that can be dealt out when you're arguing with someone. So, all right. And then the last step six is let it go.
When we say let it go, I'm not saying to forget about it, Danny, but what I'm saying is like, don't bring it back up. If someone forgave you, then we expect them not to bring it back up. Like, don't hold it over my head. It may be something else that happens, but don't say, well, last month you did this. Let it go. Just kind of be able to be, I don't know, strong enough, and then you let them go. And if it was so bad, then maybe they shouldn't have been as close to you. Maybe you should have pushed them back a ring or two in your boundary circles and just kept them there. But if you let them back in that close where you was before, no, you're just going to have to move forward. But let it go. Don't bring it back up. Don't keep hitting them over the head with it.
Yeah, and I really like that you said, like, it doesn't mean you have to forget. Because there is the sentiment, like, forgive and forget, which I think you should, as far as the other person knows, you should forget about it. But, like, if someone wrecks my car, even if they fix my car and say they're sorry and repay me for it or whatever, I'm not going to let them borrow my car again, probably. Like, you can still change those boundaries. I'm not forgetting the fact that they wrecked my car. I'm forgiving them. And as far as they know, I've forgotten about it. But, like, you can forgive with wisdom. You don't have to keep people as close to you. You know, you can forgive someone for cheating on you, but you can still dump them, right? That's kind of the best way to think about it, is like you can change those boundaries. You can remember what they did, but holding on to it and just like not forgiving them, I've actually heard that compared to it's kind of like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. So if you're not forgiving someone, they might not care at all. They might forget your name. They might walk past you in the hallway and not even pay any attention to you. But if you're not forgiving them, the only
Great
person it's
call.
hurting is
Great
really just
call.
you.
Thank you. Yeah, so let it go. Yeah, don't bring it back up.
And that's the six steps to resolving conflict assertively. So conflict can be not very fun. I really do think these steps help a ton. They've helped me in my life.
Being in a relationship married for 27 years, you know, I've seen quite a bit and been through quite a bit. So here, as you're going through your life, you know, as you begin your life and you make those really, really critical decisions between the ages of 15 and 30, there's going to be some conflict. There's going to be something's going to happen. And I think, Danny, you said it earlier, you know, think about the relationships you have with your friends, with your parents, with your coaches, with your teachers. You know, it's going to be some conflict. Everything is not going to be given your way. So the way that we handle conflict is going to determine, you know, how we move forward within our life, within our relationships, and within our circles. So thank you for allowing me to share this with you today.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, James. Hopefully, you guys have learned some stuff about conflict for all you listeners out there, and we can help you in your next fight. Remember a few of these steps, and hopefully, it will be less of a fight and more of a discussion. So,
Have a good day.
this is Danny and James with Go for the Gold signing off.
Thanks for joining us on Poke the Bear Podcast. Join us for more at our website, go4thegold.com.